good to be here with you again. And so glad to be back. And whenever you get it, you can put the first page up. As Rabbi Yossi mentioned earlier, when they, it was him that when Bob introduced us during worship, we are also Caleb's parents, for those of you that don't know.
Here in the middle.
So most of you know Caleb better now than us. And so we tag along with him when he lets us. So, all right. I just got the start of a website going. I had done a like 5-6 week class at a Sunday school, and so I had to get something up quickly. We'll start to develop this soon more. I'm getting feedback of what needs to go on it, but Rabbi Ron Speaks. And so, like you'll see at the top of the homepage, one of the things is contact us. So if you ever have questions for me, want to ask me a question, you can go to that page and just send me a note, and I'll get it in my email. So if you do have questions or comments, do that. Rabbi Ron Speaks on Facebook is where the calendar is, if you want to know where I'm running around. Starting in a couple of weeks, I'll be out every Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at USF Tampa doing outreach. I did a Passover presentation for one of the Christian groups last year. They came to me and said their students requested that I'd come back again this Passover. And I said, I would love to do some help with outreach. I need to be doing outreach. And they said, good, we'd love some help with outreach. So we still don't know exactly what it is I'll be doing, but every Wednesday I'll be at the USF campus doing outreach every week. So I'm looking forward to that. So that's some of what's going on. Let's see, we go to the next page, Caleb. There is actually a rarity. All seven of us Goldbergs were in one place at the same time. We lasted for about 20 hours before Caleb hopped on a bus and went away for a friend's wedding, but we had all seven of us together. Ravi graduated college 2 weeks ago at University of Tampa, so at least now we have a family picture thanks to Ravi's graduation. So that's nice. And pray for him as he's trying to discern exactly what God would have for him, what's next for him. So he's still seeking the Lord to see exactly. All right, and go ahead, Caleb, write the next one. Title for this could be putting chutzpah back into Hanukkah. And so I think it's something we'll see as we talk about one of the needs that comes to, I believe, it comes to attention during this season. So is the need for chutzpah. So I've got a question, and we're going to do this one at a time as I tell you, whoever's on the PowerPoint there. Has anyone seen a movie recently with Alan Konigsberg? All right, well, what about maybe Woody Allen? Yeah. Okay, same name, same person, different name, same person. What about, have you seen Melvin Kaminsky recently? Or, well, maybe you know him better as Mel Brooks. All right, have you recently seen anything with Isidore Danielovich Dembski? Oh, no, okay, well, what about Kirk Douglas? Here he is, just a few weeks ago celebrated his 100th birthday. And this is him with his son Michael and his grandson a couple of years ago at his grandson's bar mitzvah. All right, well, what about Jacob Cohen? Have you seen him recently? Well, don't worry, he doesn't get much respect anyway. So, Rodney Dangerfield. And last but not least, have you seen Jerome Silverman recently? Just passed away this year, Gene Wilder. And the names I mentioned at first that very few had ever heard of were their birth names, or at least the names that are now here on their birth certificates, but we don't know them by those names. And as I was thinking about this feast and thinking about some things, I was doing some research, and it said on several websites that long ago Jewish Hollywood big shots decided that people would be more famous, make more money, if people saw their films as quote-unquote Christian. And in fact, they personally wanted some of these actors to blend in American culture and community, and so therefore they gave some of these Jewish stars that they had helped rise to fame, supposedly, according to numerous websites, they gave them orders to change their names to Christian-sounding names. And said as well that supposedly a lot of Jewish actors also got nose jobs to blend in. Now, Barbara Streisand missed that memo, but... and so have I. Now, you know, is this true? Well, maybe for some. For some people it is, but not everyone. And so many Jewish ancestors changed their name when they moved to America. And looking at genealogy.com website, one of the things that listed a few reasons, very practical, that many of the people couldn't read, write, spell, or pronounce their name in English. And so here they come, and they've got to give their name, and they're not fluent in English and not successful in conveying what their actual name is. So the person greeting them had to just come up with whatever they felt. And so that is a reason, a very practical reason, that many people change their names due to language problems. But also, looking at the website, it said that another reason was many people just wanted to fit in. They didn't want to stick out and have such a different name, an ethnic sounding name, and they just wanted to blend in, and like that little that duck there just wants to blend in and be just like everybody else. And then when that goes just a little bit further, especially after all that has happened, another reason it gave is discrimination. And so the dealing, they wanted to avoid discrimination. I mean, especially, I mean, the pogroms, the Inquisition, the Holocaust, coming here, they don't want to be broadcasting, I'm Jewish. So many people. And this, when I looked here, I knew of the first one from October 2014. City of Houston had demanded some pastors to turn over their sermons. And then again, this October, it happened in Georgia. And people stood up and fought. But this is here, America, folks. We're not talking Europe. In America, they were trying to demand that ministers hand over their things. They said, Rabbi Yossi, we need to find out what you're telling these people to see if they think it's kosher by their standards. What are you telling your people to do? They needed to check and see. And then you see there the other thing. This poster actually has been placed in college campuses here in this country. And so, white man, are you sick and tired of the Jews showing up on college campuses in the United States of America? We're not talking Israel 2,100 years ago, Hanukkah. We're talking about America today. It's slowly increasing here in this country. And so Hanukkah is not just a story about some past historical event, but it's relevant for us today. It still happens. Assimilation, religious discrimination still takes place today. And as well in the United States of America. We saw earlier the video introducing some of the history. It started even with Alexander the Great invading other countries. Now, he didn't force like Antiochus. He didn't forbid people to worship God according to the scriptures. But it says even during his time, assimilation began. He introduced his customs and culture to the Jewish people. And people started getting drawn and attracted to the culture that he was presenting, Greek and Syrian customs. And then Antiochus came and forbid it and did things in forbid Jewish expression of faith, forbid Torah study and biblical worship. And so this holiday is relevant. Not only that, as I was looking and seeing, I was reminded again that on some of the Jewish websites it said many non-Jewish people and even many assimilated Jews, specifying assimilated Jews, think of this holiday as the Jewish Christmas. That's what it's become in the mind of people out there. This is the Jewish Christmas. It takes place in December. And then we give gifts and we decorate our homes. My other son, when I was talking with him about this, he actually said that it's become the feast of assimilation for others now. They got to have their Christmas tree. But no, we can't. It's got to be a Hanukkah bush, so it's blue instead. And so it's just sad and ironic that this holiday that is in existence because people had to stand up and fight assimilation and religious discrimination has become the most assimilated Jewish holiday on our calendar. That now people want to do what Christians do for Christmas on Hanukkah and blend in and be just like them. And so we've got to think about that. That this fight that the Maccabees won for us doesn't go in vain. It can't. The word assimilate, if we go to the next slide, in a thesaurus, it said adapt, conform, embrace, and blend in. That's what assimilate is. They want you just to conform and blend in and be like everybody else out there in this country. In the dictionary, assimilate, to absorb into the culture or the mores, the morals of the population. Are you going to absorb and take on the morals of the world that you live in? It said assimilate comes from the Latin prefix ad, which means to or towards, and similis, similar. So when people assimilate, they move towards something and become similar to it. And for our purposes today, I'm talking about people assimilating and moving away from the Bible and embracing the morals and customs of the country that we live in instead. They're becoming similar to and just like other people who don't live according to the Bible. They blend in and live like everybody else. And surveys tell you, people tell you, in congregations around America, people are living just like a large extent the people out in the world, as opposed to according to the Scriptures. Hanukkah is relevant. We need to fight the same battle so that we don't lose all of us. We've got to stop this. When I was looking at thesaurus, there was actually another phrase. And then when I looked up Google Images with this, saw the same thing. And this was sad and ironic too. One of the other phrases for assimilate is go native. And continue, all right, go ahead. Melting pot, I forgot I had two slides for that. Assimilate, it said go native. And when I put assimilate in Google Images, this is the pictures that it came up with. Sad, ironic, tragic. You talk assimilate, normally you go to another country and you give up who you were and become who the people are now where you've come to. But white man from Europe did it opposite. And came here and took the Native Americans and said, you need to dress and act and be just like us instead. Tragic, but another example of assimilation. And so, this is what continually happens in the world we live in. And I thought of a scripture, Romans chapter 12, and this is the Amplified Version, but just looking, don't be conformed to this world. We need to instead hold true to the godly values, the scriptures, because we want God's plans and purposes for our life. We don't want the plans and purposes that our country and community present to us and challenge us to embrace. But we need to pursue the plans and purposes that God has for us instead. If we go to the next one. In the contemporary version, I like there, it said, don't be like the people of this world. This is the message here. We can't try to be like them. We not to do that. Don't copy their behaviors and their customs. Instead, God's ways will really satisfy you. You're looking for satisfaction. You're not going to ever find it by taking on the customs and behaviors that the world offers us. We'll only experience God's satisfaction, His joy, His peace, His purpose when we embrace the Scriptures and live according to God's instructions for living. We need to be reminded of that. Solomon talks to us there in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, before every man there lies a wide and pleasant road. It seems right, but ends in what? Death. It looks good. And what is in the message is a way of life that it looks harmless enough. Look again, though. It leads straight to hell. Sure, those people appear to be having a good time, but all that laughter will end in heartbreak. This is what the world is presenting to us. Come and follow our ways. Join us on our paths. It seems harmless. It looks pleasant. They're smiling. But it leads to hell, despair, and heartache when it's all said and done. One more translation in Romans 12. And here we have there, in this translation, I like at the end there, the message there, God brings out the best. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. You've been exposed to it so long, seen it so many times, heard it so often, that it's just worked its way in and become second-hand nature, and you just start to doing it now naturally. It's become natural because you've been part of it so long. And so, but God's ways will bring out the best that we could ever want, pursue, and have in life. And I just looked at Romans 12 and said, this is the scripture for Hanukkah. Don't follow and become like others. Stick to the scriptures. Follow Yeshua. Follow Paul. Follow people as they follow Yeshua. And so we need to resist and fight against assimilation. And so what do? Next slide. We need chutzpah. And I think this picture, this little boy's got chutzpah. And he doesn't care who this guy is standing before him. When I looked up chutzpah, audacity, nerve, boldness, incredible guts, presumption, and arrogance. These are words that describe people with chutzpah. People with chutzpah have a disregard for restraints commonly imposed by other people. Words like daring and defiance are used when talking about people with chutzpah. Not troublemakers, people with chutzpah. Daring, defiant. Chutzpah is kind of an attitude that we have. People with chutzpah, they don't allow other people to stop them from doing what they want to do, what they feel they need to do, what's right to do. And they don't feel the slightest bit of embarrassment or shame then for doing it, because you know it's the right thing. The Word of God says to live this way, and I'm not ashamed. I'm going to live this way and do it. Moses had some chutzpah, huh? You know, he goes and pays Pharaoh a visit one day, and he says, listen, Pharaoh, I know you got a really good deal going on here. You know, a lot of us people, we work for you for free. It doesn't cost you a penny. But we've been thinking, maybe it's time to move on and try something else in life. What do you think? Can we start packing? I mean, the chutzpah, to go up to him and ask for that. Or we see in the New Covenant scriptures there, Stephen. He goes and he stands before the high priest, leading council, crowd of people who don't like him. And he says, you men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you're always resisting the Holy Spirit. You're just like your fathers. I mean, how did the crowd respond when he greeted them like this? Exactly like you'd expect them. They were furious. They gnashed their teeth. But it tells us he was full of the Ruach, the Spirit. And it says in the message, he hardly noticed. He only had eyes for God. That's chutzpah. You only got eyes for God. You don't even notice what other people are saying or doing because your eyes are locked on God and the Word of God, and you're not paying any attention to the crowd, to what they say or what they do. And that's what we need. We need, if we're going to stand up and resist assimilation and religious discrimination. And so Judah is the hero of the Maccabees, of the Hanukkah story, who got control of the temple, but it's his father, Mattathias, that got things going. Dad started this fight. And they went up to him one day, and it tells us there in Maccabees, they went up to him one time and he said, "Listen, Mattathias, one of the king's officers, we know you are a leader, honored and great, and people support you. So listen, Mattathias, that means if you go and do something, if you say something, people listen to you and they'll follow and do what you tell them. So listen, we got some here, some rules and ways we want you to live, and they follow this in other cities, so you do this here, and if you start doing this, everyone will follow along and we'll reward you with all the gold and silver you can ever imagine. Ever want in life, more than you'll ever need." And when they told this to Mattathias, it says he answered in a loud voice. He didn't whisper. He didn't want to offend. You know, he wasn't concerned about offending the king's officers. A loud voice, he told them here. He said, "Even if all the nations who live under the rule of the king obey him, departing from the religion of the fathers," and if you go to the next slide now, he said, "yet I and my sons and my brothers, we will live by the covenant. Far be it from us to desert the law and the ordinances. We will not obey the king's words nor depart from our religion in the slightest degree." Loud and bold, he declared this for the Jewish people to hear and the enemy as well, the king's officers. Not in the slightest degree. We've got to remember that, folks. You know, things just start little by little. But I saw this picture and I said, that explains why you can't do that. You can't budge just to the slightest degree. Walking on that little piece of wood, you just move a couple of inches to the left or right, you're going for a swim. And if you don't know how to swim, you're going to drown. You can't budge. We think, well, we can just give, you know, change just a little bit and maybe it'll satisfy them. We cannot budge to the slightest degree. Cannot do that. And so Mattathias had chutzpah. And then Judah and all the other Maccabees to stand up and to resist and say, no, we're not going to do this. We will not abandon the Word of God and do this. When I was searching on this for about assimilation, found an article that said, "I found assimilation to be more of a revolution than an adaptation. In some sense," he says, "I had to rebel or revolt against who I was before in order to enter the new social order." This article is especially referring to people who move to another country. But when people assimilate, they're rebelling and revolting against the fundamental teachings of the Scriptures. And then they're embracing a new set of views and foundations to replace the Scriptures instead. But it says, you know what makes a difference when people assimilate? Whether they quickly assimilate or it takes time or not at all, they said they were finding that the strength of attachment to family, religion, and tradition is what determines how quickly or slowly people assimilate. Family, religion, and tradition. And so religion and tradition, if people just do religious things and follow traditions without thinking, without internalizing them, kids don't buy into it. People don't buy into it. And that is so true for me. I had no interest in doing anything just because moms and dads said, do this. And so I had to learn and see what this meant for me. And so since it's Hanukkah, we light the candles. And when I was growing up, my dad didn't get home till 7:30 at night. So my mother, sister, and I had dinner without him because we couldn't wait that long. And when Hanukkah would come, we'd have dinner. And when Hanukkah was over, we'd go to the window, we'd light the candles, we'd say the blessings, and then we just took off. Mother went and did the dishes. My sister and I did our homework, watched TV, whatever it was for the evening. And that was it. And I knew why we lit the candles. I heard of the miracle of oil lasting 8 days. But no one ever said, Ron, is this relevant? Does this mean anything for you today? Is it just about something that happened 2,100 years ago, or is there any reason you should be doing it today that you need to? And realizing after coming to faith, this is a reminder that God does miracles. And we still need miracles today. I mean, a miracle, simplest terms, is God does for us what we can't do for ourselves. It's humanly impossible, and we need God to come in and do something. We need to be reminded. We said the blessing, thanking God for the miracles. And we need to remember that. But the scriptures tell us as well in Malachi, I am the Lord, I do not change. And in Hebrews 13, Yeshua the Messiah is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that means the God here who kept these candles burning is the same God we're worshiping today. And if He can do a miracle for them 2,100 years ago, He can do one for us today. And so lighting the candles is a great reminder. We need to remind ourselves of that. My back is hurting. It stiffened up yesterday. I need to remember I got a new doctor a couple of months ago and said that they told me years ago it was like a bulging disc or something. And he touched me and he just said, well, there's nothing I can do. You're stuck with it forever now. I was at a senior's home the other day in Tampa teaching on Hanukkah, and they had asked me about my family. My mother had passed away in the spring, and they were asking me about it. And I was telling them how the doctor just went and said, listen, Ron, your mother's 76 years old. She's got melanoma, and 2 days after getting chemo, this is what happened. Virus, pneumonia, and MRSA. Obviously, she can't handle chemo, so listen, it's just a waiting game. That's what it is. And she needs to decide at 76, does she just want to sit around and wait for melanoma to do its thing or just end it now? And these people at the table started saying, oh yeah, that's the honorable thing, the loving thing to do. Put her out of her misery. Why should she suffer physically, emotionally? Let her just die and be out of pain. That's the loving thing to do. Two seats away from me was Elia, 90-something-year-old Jewish woman. And she all then looked at this crowd, the people sitting on the other end of the table, and she said, doctors are not God. And they looked and said, huh? And she said, I was told I have 6 months to live by my doctors. She goes, that was 7 years ago. We need to remember no man has the final say. When we light these candles, we're not just remembering some past historical event. We're reminding ourselves that we have a God who does miracles. And where are we supposed to, we're taught, where do we put the candles when we light them? We put the menorah by our front window or somewhere. Why? So that it can be seen by others that are going past. You can't keep this a secret. That God does miracles. That God changes lives. The world needs to hear this message. And so we've got to place our menorahs where people can see it. We can't keep it a secret. He told us, Yeshua, we're the light of the world. And you don't just hide the light, but you get it out there. So let your light shine. Let your menorah shine in your windows. And more importantly, let God's light shine. And this is a reminder for us. We need to let His light shine. This holiday is relevant. And so now, I can't just sit there and just light the candles and say the words on the paper and then move on. But stop and ask the kids, all right, what's one of the messages of Hanukkah? What does it mean? We got to make sure we remember it's relevant for us. Tradition religion, when they're relevant, we can pass it on to our children. But not only that, it also said tradition, religion, but family. Family is important. Hillary Clinton years ago wrote this book. She got a lot of flack, huh? It Takes a Village. People harassed her. Now, yes, it's mom and dad's responsibility first and foremost. It's our job to raise our kids, but folks, you're here to help us. You are called to help. We need extended family, grandparents, uncles and aunts and cousins to come alongside. Congregants here, you're here to help. If you don't have a kid, you're still here. You're part of your relationship with other people. You're not here just to warm up a seat on Saturday morning. But you're here to share lives with the other people that are here in this room. And so that means you encourage them as parents in raising those kids so that they don't assimilate, but they stick to the Word of God. And so we not only need chutzpah, we need community. Community. We need each other. As much chutzpah as we had, Mattathias didn't go out on his own. He grabbed his sons with him and they went out there and said, those of you that believe in this, come with me. We got to do it together. You have to do it together. Raising the kids and letting your light shine in Lakeland together. The last thing is, as well, we heard what? That it in one of the other early things of Hanukkah, Messiah was mentioning he's not just a man, he's not just a Maccabee, he's more than a man, more than a Maccabee, he's Emmanuel, God with us. And people have celebrated that in this country this month. Let me tell you, Miriam and Yosef, those two had some chutzpah, right? Go ahead to the... I mean, they sit there and they say, yes, she's pregnant, but hey, she's still a virgin. I mean, come on! If you're going to go out there and answer that question and tell people this, you've got to have some chutzpah. You can't feel the slightest bit of embarrassment or shame. I mean, for the rest of their lives, people mocked them and laughed at them. So what did Miriam do when she got the good news from the Lord? She immediately went to what? Go visit Elizabeth. She needed support and encouragement from someone who would understand. And I'm sure that throughout her life, she surrounded herself with other people, community. Because all life long, for the rest of her life, people would still mock her and laugh at her for declaring that she was pregnant yet still a virgin. And so, Hanukkah is not just a historical event from many years ago. The message of Hanukkah is needed today because assimilation and religious discrimination, persecution, are still battles that we face today in our lives. And just like the Maccabees, just like Miriam and Yosef and everybody else, we need chutzpah and community to continue with the Lord. So let me pray for us. Lord,